Ah, the sounds of the Smashing Pumpkins here in Chicago. Sort of an anthem for many of us who lived here in the 90s. I'm Justin Kaufman, 312-981-7200. We've been talking about this story all night. Is a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, of course, in Cleveland, Ohio, does the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame have an anti-Chicago bias? Some question that. And Ted McClellan, the great Chicago writer and also a frequent contributor to this program, wrote a column today or a piece today about whether or not that's the case, or if we just have to sort of stomach and face the facts that Chicago may not be a great rock and roll town. Ted McClellan joined us on the line. Ted, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I've been listening all night. I've been waiting for this moment. I've been waiting for this moment all my life.
All right, so where does this premise come from? Tell us where this idea of exploring anti-Chicago bias came from.
Well, it comes from John Mulaney, a comedian, Chicago native. And, you know, he, like you said, grew up in Chicago in the 1990s, huge Smashing Pumpkins fan. And he said to Rolling Stone, "It's ridiculous the Smashing Pumpkins aren't in. The Hall of Fame clearly has an anti-Chicago bias. Anyone from Long Island is in, even just regular people." I don't know who he's talking about. Maybe he's talking about Billy Joel. Or
I think he just means regular people from Long Island.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Joey Buttafuoco is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Did you know that? But no one from Chicago. So he's kind of basing his whole argument on the fact that his favorite band, the Smashing Pumpkins, is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So if you know, I guess if the Smashing Pumpkins is the hill you want to die on, or the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame recognizing Chicago, then that's what you're where John Mulaney is.
Yeah. I love the piece because the piece really does kind of wrestle with the idea of this anti-Chicago bias, but also whether or not this is really self-inflicted. I mean, Chicago is not the rock and roll town that we think it is.
I mean, it could be, you know, Chicago just doesn't rock as hard as some Chicagoans want to think. I mean, you know, I said that I said, you know, maybe Chicago punches a little bit below its weight, you know, for a city of 3 million people. We are not as influential in rock and roll as Detroit, Memphis, New Orleans, Nashville, Seattle, San Francisco, Austin, and, you know, maybe even Minneapolis. You know, they had Prince and the Replacements.
That hurts when you hear that. When you hear Minneapolis,
I know. Well, you know, but Prince alone, Prince is a genre unto himself. So he alone can raise a town above us.
Okay, so what about all? Because you can make an argument for the contemporary acts, but the historical acts, the blues men who came through here, jazz. I mean, obviously not too many jazz people in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but there are a lot of blues guys from Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and you know, this is where, and I think this is Chicago's biggest contribution to music. This is where, you know, the blues turned electric, which was an essential step in the development of rock and roll. You know, Muddy Waters came up here and he started playing electric guitar so people could hear him in house parties. And in these crowded bars, crowded with, you know, other people from Mississippi. So some of the transplants from Mississippi who were in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Buddy Guy, Howlin' Wolf, Jimmy Reed, Little Walter, Muddy Waters, Willie Dixon, and then, you know, Leonard Chess, who's not a musician, but, you know, recorded all of them. He's from Poland, so he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, too. And then I have a list of born and bred Chicagoans.
We'll get to them. With the blues guys, though.
Yeah.
They're known. They created a Chicago music. They may not be from here, but do you consider them to be Chicago musicians?
Oh, absolutely, because their sound, you know, was a product of the transition from the rural environment, you know, to the urban environment.
Right.
That, you know, the urban environment made that electric blues necessary. So Chicago was essential in their development as musicians and the development of that electric blues sound.
In the article, you go into some of the people who are born and bred here, even some of the people who didn't make their name, like Quincy Jones is a great example of someone from the Chicago area who didn't necessarily make his name by playing Chicago clubs.
No, I think he left here when he was like 10. So I'm not sure right. how much we can claim him. But we have Curtis Mayfield, the Paul Butterfield Blues Band, and of course the band Chicago.
Right.
So how can the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame be anti-Chicago if they let Chicago in?
Well, as I found out the hard way, I had a conversation about the best Chicago bands of all time. I want to do a tournament and do a 64, which is really hard with musicians. But people were like, there are two Chicagos. It's before the band, before the guitar player died, and after. And that really is how they look at the band Chicago. So.
Or also before, who was it? Was it David Foster got a hold of him?
Yeah, right.
That's definitely a huge transition. Once you get to Chicago 16, and I've seen the videos, and you know, the guys are just standing around, sitting on a bed with their horns like next to them, because you know nobody's even playing horns anymore. But they're still in the band and they're getting royalties.
Ted McClellan's my guest. He wrote an article in Chicago Magazine about a possible anti-Chicago bias in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The new class just was announced. Rufus with Chaka Khan. There's a distinction there, because Chaka Khan, I believe, is already in. This is about Rufus with Chaka Khan.
I don't think Chaka Khan's in.
How could Chaka Khan not be in the Hall of Fame?
That's how she would get in. She would get in with, I think I went through the whole list of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members, and I didn't see her in there.
I don't understand that.
It's the anti Chicago bias. There it goes again.
Well, to me, because I was under the impression, and I don't know where I got this impression, that she was in solo artists and she was trying to get in with her funk band, which is awesome. Rufus is awesome. The idea that she is out completely—that's nuts. How is that even possible? How could you have Whitney Houston going into the Hall of Fame and Chaka Khan's on the sidelines?
Whitney Houston had one of the biggest selling singles of all time. So there you go.
Yeah, well, you make a strong argument that there is no Whitney Houston if there's not a Chaka Khan. I'm sorry, but Khan and Whitney and Quincy Jones produced Chaka Khan. I did not know this, Ted. This is really burning my blood here. What's going on?
You got to give her a high seat in your.
Yeah, she's a number. She's a number two at least.
Yeah,
she's a two seat.
But there is a band who is going to be eligible next year, and I think has a very strong chance of getting in, and that's Wilco.
Mm. All right, so let's do this. I'm going to take a break, real quick break, right. And I'm going to come back, and we'll talk about the contemporaries, who from the newer class of Chicago musicians deserves or might be on a list in the near future. Ted McClellan wrote a great piece in Chicago Magazine about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and an anti-Chicago bias. Now I totally believe John Mulaney. I'm with that on the Chaka Khan. I thought she was in. I'm totally floored. Ted McClellan on 720 WGN. Stay with us. 10-time Grammy winner, Chaka Khan.
Wow.
I'm blown away. I'm floored. This is an aha moment, because I thought that Chaka Khan was in and they were just trying to get
You know, she got nominated, so.
I thought that this already happened. I thought like 2008 or 2005 she got in, and now she's trying to get her band in. Ted McClellan's on the line with me here talking about his article about whether or not there's an anti-Chicago bias in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Chaka Khan and her band Rufus did not get in this year. And there's just a question about whether or not Smashing Pumpkins should be at least put in a position where they're nominated. Maybe they don't get inducted, but they're nominated. And it seems at a certain point, this is the time for those kinds of bands. A texter just put in saying, what a joke. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, no Smashing Pumpkins, no Alice in Chains, no STPs. I mean, there are a lot of these bands that aren't even recognized.
They're kind of on the level of Alice in Chains. You know, they're not as high up there as Pearl Jam and Nirvana. They didn't rule their genre. So I think they're pushing up against that a little bit. And, you know, Billy Corgan says he doesn't envision it happening.
Is it all a campaign? Does Billy Corgan have to play the game? Do they look at the things that Billy Corgan or Chaka Khan says when they knock the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and say, fine, then we don't want you here?
Well, I don't think so. Because, you know, Jeff Tweedy, he called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a money-making boondoggle for some people and sort of a tax scam for the people of Cleveland. But I mean, I personally think Wilco is a shoe-in to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You think Wilco's in a shoe-in more than Smashing Pumpkins?
Yeah, because critics love Wilco. You got to admit that. You know, The Atlantic ran a 10th anniversary essay about the legacy of Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. And you know, and Wilco also, they get points because Uncle Tupelo kind of invented the alt country genre, right. You know, and that even had a whole magazine to go along with it, you know, No Depression magazine. So
yeah.
So I think they're the next Chicago act that's going to get in. And then looking down the road, I think some of the rappers from the 2000s and the 2010s.
Kanye West and Common.
Kanye West, Common, you know, Chance the Rapper, if he, you know.
If he continues on his track, yeah.
But yeah. Just,
but beyond, I mean, because I would say there's something seriously wrong with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame if Kanye West doesn't get in when it's time for him to get in. I don't know.
I think he'll get in, you know, because, yeah. You know, the College Dropout was just an enormous album. It was an enormous album for me, much bigger in my life than Sean Connery Rufus, I have to admit.
Yeah, and, well, you know what? I don't know. I got that bargain bin.
Bigger than Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness.
I remember I bought a Rufus with Chaka Khan CD for $7.99 from Tower Records or something on the corner there, and spun that thing till the scratches, you know, had it skip.
Really?
It's so good. Tell Me Something Good's on there. Pretty much every fast food commercial that shows a burger and tries to make it sexy is done to a Rufus with Chaka Khan song. Tell me something good, and it's like, Whoppers, $2.
Well, for me, Slow Jams was the number one song on my iPod. I had one of those little iPods, you know, where you twirled it, you know, with the circle, and you know, and that's a double Chicago because Twista's on there too.
Absolutely. As we look at this, and you say maybe we're punching below our weight, or maybe we're not as much of a rock and roll town. I mean, Chaka Khan and the Smashing Pumpkins and Wilco and even some of the rappers, those are some of the best in their business, in their field, in their genre. So maybe there's something to what John Mulaney is saying, that there is a bias here, because I just don't understand how Chaka Khan is not in, and they've already
really
skipped over and gone.
I'm
really hung up on Chaka Khan.
You are as hung up on Chaka Khan as John Mulaney is on the Smashing Pumpkins.
I'm serious, man. I don't understand. Yeah. That really blows my mind.
Have you ever had her on the show?
I have not. It's on my bucket list. I would love to have Chaka Khan. I would do a 4-hour interview with Chaka Khan. Just about early 80s. That's where we would stay.
You can get her on and have her talk about why she thinks she's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And of course, she's going to say she doesn't care. And
yeah, she's like,
her hands.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all, she doesn't listen to the critics, blah, blah, blah.
At the end of the day, when you write this, Ted, and you put this together, do you believe there's an there's a bias, or do you think that Chicago just needs to do better?
I guess you could say Chicago, you know, needs to do better. I mean, I think Chicago is fairly represented in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, but I guess probably since we had that you know, explosion of the Delta Blues or the Electric Blues, we haven't had, you know, a huge scene emerge from Chicago. Maybe the socially conscious rappers, in the 2000s and the 2010s, we were kind of the capital of that. But I mean, I guess as far as pure rock and roll, we didn't have anything like the San Francisco scene or the Seattle scene.
Yeah, I don't know. I lived here in the 90s. I felt like the Chicago alt-rock scene of the 90s with Smashing Pumpkins, with Liz Phair, with Farouk Assault.
Yeah.
And they even get... I remember I was at the... I think it was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland a couple of years ago when I went there. And they have a little... like kiosk, very little at the end, that's sort of like Midwest towns, and they show Chicago and the 90s scene. They recognize that exists. I just don't know if it's big enough for any of those names to be put on the big marquee.
On the big board, yeah. Well, I don't see Liz Phair getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And I'm not sure that it, who cares.
Urge Overkill, they were a big band. I put in the link in there, you know, as I was talking about Wilco about... And you were talking about that scene, the Lounge Acts, their website is still up.
Is it really?
And they still list the bands from, you know, I think their last 2 weeks. So
I would make an argument for, here's the bands I would make an argument for that aren't in. Is Ministry
okay?
No.
I don't think so.
Right.
Where are they from? Aren't they from Cleveland?
No, they're from Chicago, right?
They're not.
Are they?
Ministry's not from Chicago?
I mean, they're not in.
Oh, they're not in.
No,
sorry.
Okay.
Okay, so they're not in. That I would say only because if you're talking, if I'm following the Ted McClellan reasoning that you got to be at the top of your genre. Ministry was at the top of their kind of post-apocalyptic electronic music. So I would say Ministry. I would put it, if I were voting, and I'm not, I would put a ballot in for Smashing Pumpkins. I think that they took what was Nirvana and Pearl Jam and took it in a different direction. And those albums, especially Siamese Dream, everybody had it, man. It was one of the biggest rock of the 90s.
I listened to it. When I was writing this, I was listening to, I think I listened to Siamese Dream, and I listened to AM by Wilco. I think that Smashing Pumpkins, their best songs were better than Wilco, although I think Wilco is more consistent. Tonight is my favorite Chicago song. Yeah.
Okay,
when he sings about the city by the lake, it gives me chills.
So, okay, so then you got, then I would say Wilco as well, and I would say Kanye West and Chance and Kanye.
Right.
And then I would say Chaka Khan.
Right.
That would be it. And then we'd be done with this conversation.
All right. Well, no, you don't like John Prine? He's been nominated.
John Prine, another one who did not get in, right?
No, he's been nominated, but he wasn't nominated this year, but he's been nominated in years past, but he hasn't gotten in.
Now, Ted, I started this conversation completely in the corner of Chicago needs to, maybe it's not just not a great town after reading.
But now you're talking
now,
yourself,
man.
About it.
I don't
talking
know.
About all these great.
I'm Chaka Khan,
bands.
Smashing Pumpkins, and John Prine. All three of them. If I were like, oh, they're in the Hall of Fame, I would not bat an eye. The fact they're not, and I have to say, I'm a little bit angry because I feel like I think Whitney Houston should be in the Hall of Fame. She was great.
Yeah.
But she came off of the success of Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan set up Whitney Houston. So the idea that they just passed over Chaka Khan from Chicago to get Whitney Houston her first try, like, hey, it's Whitney. Or it's not her first. She's been here for a couple of years. But, but the point being, I just find that to be, I don't like that, Cleveland.
Okay,
I'm a little bit angry, Ted.
Have you been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I have.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I think I went there once. There's two great music halls. There's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and there's the Cleveland Style Polka Hall of Fame in Cleveland. And the Cleveland Style Polka Hall of Fame is actually more fun.
I remember my favorite thing about the at the end of the Hall of Fame, they have a kiosk. It's like, would you like to vote for someone to be who should be in here, right in, right?
And did you vote for Chaka Khan?
No, I voted for the Smashing Pumpkins. But what I did, I did it on a screen, and it was like a sticky screen or something. So I missed the, I think I missed the M. So it was like the Smashing Pumpkins. And I'm like, if this thing doesn't have any AI, if there's nobody watching the Pumpkins, and they lost my vote.
Pumpkins.
Yeah. Like, I got to get it right.
Were the Smashing Pumpkins the bumper music? Well, I had to turn off my radio.
Yes, they were.
Oh, they were. No, what about going out? Is going to be Chaka Khan?
It should be Chaka Khan. We're going to the whole second half of this segment is going to be Chaka Khan. Ted McClellan, check out his great piece in Chicago Magazine. Is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame anti-Chicago? And you can find it at chicagomag.com. Ted, always great to talk to you, buddy. Thanks for trying to
stay. You too, Justin. All right.